Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com. Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
And good afternoon, this is Dr. Nydia, and I'm here with Betty. Betty's not here today, but she may be coming in as we go through the process of the program. Say hello, Betty.
Hello.
She doesn't speak English. Well, yeah, she does a little bit. She understands a little bit, but for the most part, she doesn't. So I'm on my own today. And happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there. Expectant or otherwise, today is a very special day. That's right. Betty says that she's the mother of her Yorkie, of a 3-year-old Yorkie. And me, I had four kids. I have three children, and they're wonderful, and they're not mad at me anymore because I used to live in the streets practically being an alcoholic and drinking and carrying on. And it's been years now, it's been 36 years that I'm clean and sober, and the repairs have been done. The repairs have been done because I taught by example. In other words, my children all became addicts or codependents because I was teaching them, I was giving them the lessons of life as to how to escape reality. And so when I got sober, I began to show them what it was like to live in reality. So I taught them both ways of how to live life. When you're living in darkness and you're constantly making excuses and justifying everything you do and say and blaming others, that's living in darkness. That's not taking responsibility. And when you start taking responsibility, your entire ethics change. Your point of view changes. There was a time when I didn't have a problem committing a crime and doing things that hurt other people and justifying why. Yeah, well, I did this to that person because that person did this to me. And it was unrealistic because now people do things to me, but they can't hurt me because nobody can go near who you truly are, your true essence. That's the part of you that is totally innocent. That's the part of you that is very powerful. You see a child when they're little, they're 6 months old, a year, year and a half, they don't think about where their next meal is coming from. All they're concerned is doing whatever it is that they're doing in the present moment. So if they're playing, they're just focusing on their playing. If they're hungry, then they're focusing on finding food. And the way a child does that is they cry. The minute you show them the food, okay, boom. There was a baby, where was I the other day? I don't remember where I was, but there was a baby. This lady had her baby with her, and the baby was just crying and crying and crying, and all of a sudden she pulled out this bottle and put it in the baby's mouth, and that was the end of that. There was no more crying. There was no more punching the air with the baby's little hands or kicking the kicking and screaming. No, it was all over. That's it. Now it's just sucking on the milk. And the moaning that they do, it's just so adorable where they go, and they kind of like, they let out this sound of gratification, how happy they are that they have their food. And so this is the essence that we're trying to get back. We had that essence. When we were born with that pure essence where nothing bothered us, where we weren't concerned about anything. None of us worried about anything. You slept, you ate, and you pooped. That was it. We were happy. If I'm hungry, I cry. If I gotta poop, I cry so that somebody can clean me up. And if I'm cold, I'll cry because I'm cold. And I communicate. That's the way babies communicate. But they don't wonder if, uh-oh, I'm going to start crying and now my mother's not going to pay attention to me and now it's going to be an hour before she's going to blah, 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 blah. And then we create a story around whatever it is. But children don't do that. Little kids don't do that unless their healthy ego becomes toxic. The healthy ego is that part of us that serves the purpose of survival. You survive because if there's a fire, if there's danger, your healthy ego takes you out of wherever the danger is. When your ego becomes toxic, then it believes that it's in danger all the time. And we're not in danger all the time. We're in danger when we're in danger. But there are people that are constantly in fear that something is going to happen. Oh, my God, I can't sit under this air conditioner because I'm going to catch pneumonia and die. Oh, my goodness, I can't do this because, and I can't do that because, and I'm not going to go outside because, and there's always a good reason why we do things. What we don't realize is that when you're with your toxic ego, when you're focusing, your toxic ego is dominating your life, then your essence can't be there because the toxic ego is either in the past or it's in the future. But if it's not in the present, and it can't be in the present because the toxic ego doesn't exist. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. And you say, yeah, but I went to school. Yeah, you did, but you don't go to school now. You're not 12 years old. You're not 3 years old. You are whatever age you are. You're an adult, most likely, and you're not in the past. But when we live in the past, we create all those memories. And the thing is, it's very interesting how this happens. When we're when we're being dominated by our toxic ego, we're not in the present. We are wherever that thought of the past is. And we distort the facts. The toxic ego always distorts the facts. One thing happened. You had a terrible car accident. And now you don't want to drive. Now you don't want to even get into a car, let alone drive a car. And so you're terrified every time you see a car. Well, why would you be terrified of a car now? That's the car that you see in front of you is not the car that you had the accident in. As a matter of fact, what happened as a result of that accident happened and it's over and it's done with. And if you have some residual physical conditions because of it, then you take care of the physical conditions. But we bring back the accident and we relive it. In our minds, it's like we're going through it all over again, when in reality, we're not. Physically speaking, you may be sitting in a chair, you may be walking, you may be running, you may be doing who knows what, but you're not in that accident again. It doesn't work that way. Once the accident is over with, it's over with. You went to the hospital, you did, or you didn't go to the hospital, whatever it is, but it's over. And what we don't realize is we call it post-traumatic stress. And it's very powerful. I have post-traumatic stress. Most of my post-traumatic stress is gone. The rest of it is just there, and I rearrange my whole life to avoid certain things. But the point is that when you do have that post-traumatic stress, for the most part, if you can understand that it's not happening now, then it'll be easier to go through life. My post-traumatic stress now is when I'm most vulnerable. And when I'm most vulnerable is when I'm sleeping. And so my father used to grab me by my hair when I was sleeping and throw me up against the wall. And I'd wake up in the air not knowing where I was or what was happening. And so now what happens is that if I hear a noise, my kids know better than to go into my room when I'm sleeping or wake me up with loud noises or anything, because I'll go back and in my mind, I'll be back where I was. I relive the situation. The difference today is that I'm only in that situation while I'm still asleep and waking up. Because right after that, I immediately get myself out of that situation. See, and there are one or two other things that I can't talk about because I don't want to put myself out there and be vulnerable. The point is that when we relive constantly day by day by day, because what my conditions are, if I don't get involved with whatever it is that's creating my stress, then nothing happens. So I have learned how to avoid certain situations which do not impact me in my daily life at all, okay, unless something happens, and then I take care of it. And so the thing is that when we just so your whatever okay. I think I'm back on the air. Sorry about that. The phone went dead. Okay, so when we live in the past, and living in the past and reliving and constantly being out of where we are physically, what we're doing is that we're nowhere near where our essence is. What you want to do is to remain in the present. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. It happened. You always must acknowledge the fact that, okay, this happened. Don't deny it. Don't try to hide it. Talk about it. The more you talk about it, the easier it is to be able to survive it. So you talk about it. You talk about it to whoever will listen. And it doesn't matter if they get sick of you talking about it. You need to talk about it because you need to let go of that energy. The less you talk about it, the more the energy accumulates within you. So what you want to learn how to do is stay in the present and acknowledge the fact that something happened, whatever it was, okay? And then you have to ask yourself, what did I learn from this experience? As drastic as a trauma is, or as simple as a situation is, the question is the same. What did I learn from this experience? Doesn't matter what the experience is. So if you were tortured, if you were raped, or if you dropped a plate, it doesn't matter. The question is, what did I learn from this situation? And stop blaming other people. You can't blame another person because you're not happy. If you're in a sick relationship, which a lot of us are, well, I'm not anymore, but there was a time when I was, but if you're in a sick relationship and you stay there, that's your choice. People will try to scare us into us doing what they want us to do. But we have to understand that they can't break us. And you can't use another person as an excuse to fail or to be in the situation that you're in. If you're in an abusive relationship and your partner is constantly messing with you and giving you a hard time, you can get out of it. There are many ways of getting out. Ask for help. Call people. Ask them for help. What do I do? But the thing is not just ask for help. It's follow through. Because I know a lot of people that say, what should I do? Why does he always do this to me? Well, he does that to you because that's who he is. He's always going to be that way. And he keeps you a prisoner because you allow it. So it's up to you to say enough. When I was in that relationship, I was in a very sick relationship with my first husband. And one day I got sick and tired of him beating on me. He would hit me every day until he went to the street. He was an active alcoholic. He became a bum. But he would come to my house and take my welfare check once a month and beat me up and take it. And one day I said, enough. And as he broke down my door, when he broke down my door, he fell on top of the door. And I came at him with a huge knife, one of those carving knives. And I said, you know what? One of us is going to die today, and it'll probably be me. But trust me, you will never forget this day. And I must have had murder in my eyes because he was on his hands and knees. And he went down the stairs on his hands and knees because he didn't have time to get up. I was on top of him that fast. And I didn't cut him. I didn't, because he ran. He got out of there as fast as he could. And after that, he never bothered me again. And I'm thinking, look at this punk. All those years, I was terrified of him because he told me he would kill me and he would do things to me. But that day, I was just so done. And you have to get to the point where you're more important than the idiot that wants to come after you, because he's coming after you because he can. And if he's mentally ill and you know he's mentally ill, then figure out a way of getting yourself into a shelter and disappearing from town if you have to. Unfortunately, we're the ones that have to get away. And go where he's not going to find you ever again. Because if you call the police, and yeah, he'll go to jail for whatever time, or not go to jail at all. In my day, men did not go to jail because they beat up on their women. That was just the way it was. Now, at least women have some kind of help. In my day, there were no shelters, at least not that anybody knew about. And if there were shelters, we couldn't find them. And there was no place to go. I would go to the police station, and they'd tell me, go home to your husband. Hello, he's the one I want protection from. But what are you doing to provoke him? That was the question that the police asked me. What was I doing to provoke my husband because he beat me? But he also beat my baby. And that's when I said, enough is enough. Do not. And I went after him. So the thing is that come out of fear. Get away from the idea that you're not strong enough, you're not powerful enough. Yes, you are. And if it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, or, well, you know, children, unfortunately, somebody has to protect them because they don't know how to protect themselves. But the whole idea is you being in touch with your essence. You know what happens most of the time? That when we learn something new, we say, oh, if only so-and-so would hear this. Oh, if my husband would hear this, he'd understand that he shouldn't be beating me up. No, this information is not for your husband or your wife or your friend. This is for you. This information is for you, not for somebody else to change and not for somebody else to do what you think they should be doing. They are who they are. They're not going to change just because you want them to change. They're going to change because they decide that they touched bottom and they've done, you know, enough is enough, and then they may decide to change. In the meantime, they may kill you. You know, like this girl, Jodi Arias, that killed her boyfriend because she was jealous because he was going to take somebody else on a trip, and, you know, it's incredible. And thank you, Lord, that she got convicted of first-degree murder. The thing is that as long as you allow the other person to do things to you, like Travis Alexander with Jodi Arias, he kept letting her do things. Well, because she was seducing him. She would give him any kind of sex he wanted. What he didn't realize was that he was creating a monster. The more he allowed her to do what she wanted, the more she did what she wanted. And it gets to a point where you feel that the abuser feels that they're all powerful. One of the things that Jodi Arias said, her hubris, her arrogance of saying, no jury will convict me. Well, she got convicted. And so when the abuser gets to the point where they think that they can slap you around and hit you and hurt you and do things to you, it's because you've allowed it to happen. And I'm not blaming the victim, because I was a victim too. I didn't know that I had the power to simply just say, no, get away from me, don't hit me anymore. I didn't know that I could call the police. I come from an upbringing where we take care of our own stuff. And so we don't call the police. And the police are not my friends. That was the attitude that I had then, because I grew up in that kind of an environment where we don't call the police. When the police come, it's because they're going to take you away, not because they're going to protect you. So the mentality at that time, well, when I was going through this, was nobody would help me. And nobody would, because even the police wouldn't help a woman that was in distress. It's not like today where, I mean, you know, I'm 71 years old. So you know that in my time, you didn't call the police primarily because the police weren't going to do anything. And I had an uncle that came from World War II. And in those days, they had my family and their friends. My mother was pregnant for me, and my father came and he got a room. But in that room, there were like 15 other people living. But they were all men, or they were all women, single. And so as each man got a job and was able to bring their family, and so they went, they got their apartments, and they went, moved on with their life. But my father and my mother were both, he had just brought her from Puerto Rico. And they were in a room with a whole bunch of other people. And this uncle of mine came from the war. And he came and he went into where his brothers lived, which was my father and his other brothers. And so he put his duffel bag down, and he says, oh, I'm going to go see my wife. His wife was in a room all by herself because he was able to take care of her. And so what he did was he went into the room, came back out, rummaged through his duffel bag, pulled out his gun, went back into the room where his wife was staying, and killed her. Because he found her with another man. The man, he didn't touch the guy. Because in those days, the unwritten law was that if you kill your wife for being unfaithful, you're fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. They gave him a fine for shooting a gun within city limits. That was what he got. And he might have served maybe a week in jail. And this was in 1942, right before I was born. So the thing is that when the mentality of the society is such that it doesn't help, that you are not going to get any help. Child abuse was the same thing. My father beat me up in the police station when I was 13 years old. So and the cops didn't say anything. And when they took me to the judge said I was a bad girl because I didn't listen to my parents. And so the mentality was that men can do anything they wanted, but women, you know, the life of a woman was not that precious the way it is today. Point is that when you want to communicate with your essence, you have to come clean. You can't come with all that baggage because it's very hard to stay in the present and still be thinking about the past and have resentment and have anger. I know a person that everything that comes out of her mouth is that stupid a-hole and that son of a bee. And every time somebody does something, she judges it, and she judges it with anger. What an asshole, you know, that kind of thing. And so I told her the other day, I said, you know, I can't have you around me because that energy is too powerful. That negative energy I live in peace and serenity. Don't come messing with my peace and serenity because otherwise I don't want you around me. I can't have you around me because it doesn't mean that people around me can't curse and have their own opinion and do whatever they have to do. But if they're working with me and I'm in close proximity to that person and I have to work with them I don't want to do that. I can put up with all that crap, but I choose not to. I choose to stay away from people, even in my job. I choose to stay away from people who are constantly criticizing and gossiping about other people. I'm not interested. And so when you decide to stay in the present, then the toxic ego, you see it all over the place, and you choose not to be part of it because you're not comfortable anymore around that kind of energy. And the people themselves could be very nice, but with that energy when that energy gets in the way, it's like, ooh, you know, goosebumps all over my body where it's my essence is saying you don't belong here. Listen to your body because your body will tell you. You don't belong here. Don't be afraid. If you're afraid, find somebody who will give you courage and stand up for yourself. And you can't, like I was telling my friend the other day, it's not what you say or you don't say. For instance, it's not the fact that I'm not calling you an SOB, even though I believe you are. It's the I believe you are that's the problem. When you tell somebody in your head, oh, you're an SOB, and you get angry at them, that's the part that we need to be working with. My friend said to me the other day, yeah, but I don't say anything. But it doesn't matter that you say or you don't say anything. It's where your thoughts are, because your thoughts are creating the energy, not your mouth. The reason you words come out of your mouth is because you already thought them. So if you think in your mind, what an SOB, okay, that's the energy you're producing, whether you tell people or not. Doesn't matter what if you tell me. If you call me an SOB or you don't call me an SOB, that's unimportant. That's totally insignificant. What's important is the thought. The thought, the fact that that thought is in your mind, I should have told him this or I should have told him that. Why do people like that have the right to live? Why don't they die? You know, and a lot of people say to me, yeah, but I didn't say anything. Okay, yeah, but you still produce the energy. And the whole idea is that we're reacting, we're responding to stuff that happened to us in the past. So if somebody reminds me of my father, then the logical thing for me to do is hate the person that looks like my father. See? That's what my toxic ego would do. My toxic ego would say, ugh, look at that man. He looks just like your father. He's probably an asshole just like your father. No. See? That energy is the one that I need to change if I want to change my life. Change your thoughts and your whole life will change. Ask yourself, tomorrow this is what I'm going to do. And make that list either on paper or in your mind. And say in that list, say, today I'm going to respect myself. Because every time you allow somebody to abuse you, you're disrespecting yourself. You're not giving yourself the opportunity to be where your essence is. You have to give yourself the opportunity to stay in the present. In the present, those thoughts do not come in. Because they can't. They're part of the past, and the past doesn't exist, and the past is over and done with. There is no past. Stuff that happened in the past is not happening now, unless you're allowing it. Because I know when I left my father's home, I went to live with the man that became my husband, and it was just as miserable with my husband as it was with my father. Until eventually I said, that's it, no more. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I had to then figure out, if I'm not going to do this, then what am I going to do? The first thing you want to do is get help. Go somewhere where you can get help. Stop doing for other people and start doing for yourself. Because most of us say, oh, I can't leave because I can't leave my children. Your children are 30 and 40 years old, but you can't leave because you can't leave your children. No, your children are adults. Disappear if you have to. See, but we're so, oh, I'm so close to my children. I'm so close to my grandchildren. I have to be here. I have to be there. Well, you put yourself in danger every time you stay with your abuser. And for a while, it's healthy to just move out of that whole situation because you're not the only one that's sick. Everybody there is sick, including your kids, including your other family members. I'm working with a young lady now who moved away from her family. It was difficult for her, but she kept saying to me, my son is getting contaminated. And she could see how sick her family was. And she could see how sick she was. But yet she stayed in that infested household. And I suggested to her to move out and get an apartment for her and her son rather than stay in that contaminated atmosphere. And she did. She got an apartment, but she was still there with her family, her mother, her sisters, her brothers, and they were all very dysfunctional. And so, therefore, she was dysfunctional, and her child was dysfunctional. So she moved to another apartment not too far from where her family is. Now, what happened was that when she moved out with her son, her son was still in the environment. And he went out and started smoking pot. And a year later, they discovered he was smoking pot. And so the mother now, who has a little bit more of structure and is a little healthier, could see that her son was going down the wrong path. And when she told her mother, she says, "I'm punishing him, and I don't want anybody in the family to give him anything." Because they were all saying, "Oh, poor," because she took his phone away and his Xboxes, and they started giving him gifts. And no, do not give them gifts. And they still kept, and they would fight with her because she was being too strict with them. And so she moved away even further. She moved so far away that for the family to get to see her, it would take maybe 45 minutes to get to her house. Her family does not know where she lives. Her family is totally in the dark as to what's going on with her son. Her son is beginning to be more respectful, where he was cursing at her and yelling at her and telling and manipulating her and telling her she was a bad mother. And now the kid is treating her with respect. But it was hard for her to move so far away and not have the family there, because she grew up in this atmosphere. This is all she knows. She doesn't know about structure. And so, you know, we work together on how to have structure, how to set limits. And her son is like he was before he was contaminated, with a lot of respect and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And he's going to school. His grades are up. And she said to me, I can't believe it. And now she still talks to her mother and her sisters, but they don't know where she lives. And they're constantly cursing her out. So she says, "Well, you know, as long as you're going to offend me, I'm not going to continue talking to you." And now she's learning how to hang up. And so now they're beginning not to mention certain things. And that's the way it is. You set limits, and people have to follow them. Learn how to hang up the phone when you need to hang up the phone. "I'm not having this conversation with you. Click." It's as simple as that. And people are going to get angry at first, but then they're going to start to respect you. Her son became very abusive. But when he saw that she was sticking to her guns, then he calmed down. In a few weeks, the child was a different person. He's 14 years old, and he's a 14-year-old. He's a healthy, normal 14-year-old. Whereas before, he would stand up and challenge her because he's a big kid, and he would impose himself on her and offend her. And she would say, "You can say anything you want. You can do anything you want, but you're not getting your phone back. And you can do anything. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. But the more you do, you remember, you have consequences. This is a result of the way you, how you respond is a result of what issues are going to come up for you." See? And so the kid started to understand that every time he was abusive, he lost something, and he would lose something else, and he would lose something else. And so he finally stopped being abusive, and he hasn't lost anything. He hasn't gotten anything back yet, because you don't just change one day and get rewarded the next. And so he understands that. And so the thing is that when you set limits, when you stay in the present, what can happen in the present that you can't deal with, including losing your life or the life of someone else? When my son passed away, it was the most difficult time of my life, but I had the realization that it was nobody's fault. I couldn't blame anybody. I couldn't get angry at anybody. I knew that there was a lesson in there for me, and I would eventually figure out what that lesson was. And it was difficult. I wanted to blame somebody. I wanted to escape and not have to be in that situation. I didn't want to be there, but I was. And I had to accept the fact that this was actually happening. This is reality. And so when my son's friends at the funeral began to talk about the relationship they had with him, it was I could enjoy it. It was beautiful to see how many friends my son had before he passed away. And so I was grateful, not because he had passed, but that he had so many friends, and the last things that happened to him in his life were wonderful. He was happy for the first time in his life. The last 6 years of his life, he was in recovery, and he was clean and sober. And all of these friends of his came. The people that supported him in his recovery were there, and they talked about funny things that they did, and stupid things that they did, and silly things that they did. And so we cried, and we laughed, and we cried again, and then we laughed again. You know, but there was no blaming. And the grief was normal, healthy grief, not the drama, throwing myself on the floor and screaming about how I lost my son. No, none of that. None of that happened, because it wasn't necessary. What we want to do, when you want to be with your essence, we have the two extremes, the negative and the positive. We want to be right in the middle of whatever that line is, where we don't create extremes in our lives. We don't create, when I remember, I'll say it. When we're in the extremes, what we're doing is we create the drama. Oh, we don't talk. Well, I'm not talking. I'm not looking at you. I'm not. No. There are times when you have to put people aside and say, you know what, I don't need to deal with you, and just let them go from your life. And that's not being extreme. That's being healthy, because you don't want to set yourself up to be abused or mistreated. So you have to. There are some people that you have to say, you know what, go on your way. You have every right to be on this planet, but not in my space. And so you can get rid of people like that. The point is not that you get rid of people or don't get rid of them. The point is that you want to be right in the middle, so that if you go either to the left or to the right or to the positive or to the negative, you don't go too far. And you can bring yourself back. And you can be in a healthy situation where, in the present, whatever is happening, you can deal with it, no matter what it is. If you have a gun to your head, so you know that there's a strong possibility that you may not live very long after that, okay? The point is not, oh, please don't kill me, or thinking in the past all the things that you did and all things that you're going to do. No, think of what you're doing right here, right now. This is where I'm going. Then let me either pray or do whatever it is that I feel that would be healthy for me to do right now. And when you're with your essence, you have peace and you have serenity. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes, in the next 5 minutes. What's happening right now is the only thing that you have to deal with, because the present is not 5 minutes from now. It's not these 24 hours. The present is this very second that you have. You don't know if in the next second a plane is going. Look at that guy that was sleeping in his bed, sound asleep, and a sinkhole swallowed him up. See? So the guy went to bed and never, not only didn't get up, he disappeared. So far that I know, they haven't found their body. The point is that you don't know what's going to happen in the next second. Don't concern yourself with it. Concern yourself with what's going on right here, right now. What are your thoughts? What is the last thing that's going to come out of your thoughts? Is it going to be something that's going to propel you to a positive place or something that's going to take you to a negative place? The last thing my son said to me was, "I hate you." And I said to him, "You know what? When you're not angry anymore, we'll talk." And then he died. So I'm not happy of the fact that he was upset with me. He was upset with me because he went into a story in his head and he remembered stuff that I did to him when I was drinking, which is not in the present. He was totally, totally out of the present. I can't feel bad because he chose not to be in the present. That's not my. I can't do anything about that. And then we never spoke again, and that was the end of that. But I have to understand that, and I could say, "Oh, if only I would have." No, if only nothing. I didn't. If only I would have been there. Well, I wasn't there. The reality is the reality. Whatever happened, happened. I can't change a second of what happened because, like I said before, the past doesn't exist. And I can't feel guilty over his emotion. This is his emotion, and when he would get like that, there was nothing anybody could do to change his mind. So I would leave him alone. I would respect his space. And so, unfortunately, I never saw him again, not alive. I never spoke to him again. But in my heart, I know that I love him. I loved him then, and I love him now. And this was the way he was. There was nothing I could do to change that or even be part of helping him to feel better about himself. And yes, I created a lot of that crap. But you can't judge me for stuff that I did in the past. You have to judge me for what I'm doing now. What example am I setting now? So it's important to understand that when you want to be in your essence, you can't be the victim. I can't be the victim and say, "Oh, if I only would have." Well, you know what? I didn't. I didn't do what I maybe should have done. I didn't do it. And there's nothing I can do to change that now. And so when you look at your life, and you see that there are a lot of things that you could have done different. Yes, maybe you could have done them different, but the reality is you didn't do them different. So what? So what are you going to do? You're going to spend the rest of your life drinking and suffering and crying and whining and bitching and complaining? No. You start from right now. Right now, this is the only thing you have. And you only focus on what's going on right now. And it doesn't mean that you can't look to the future and make plans. You want to go on vacation in June? Okay, so you have to figure out, what can I do today to make sure that that's a reality in June? That's all you do. You don't say, "Oh, when I go on vacation, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to talk to these people, and these people are going to tell me this, and I'm going to tell them that, blah, blah, blah." And before, I mean, it's only today, May, and you're not going until next month, and already you've done your vacation. And so you go on vacation and you see it's boring because, well, you already went there in your head. Point is, you want to be with your essence? Write a letter to your essence. Let your essence know. You take your dominant hand and you write a letter, just like you would write to anybody. Dear so-and-so, dear essence, and date it. Put today's date on it. And you tell them, you tell your essence what your problem is. "Dear essence, this is my problem." Betty wrote to her essence the other day, and her essence gave you four words. ¿Qué te dijo la esencia?
Me dijo que
she doesn't remember. Okay. But it was simple. It was only four words. And something about now, ahora.
La esencia. Dijo lo de lo que escribí.
No, lo que te dijo la esencia a ti.
Sí, cuando le escribí la carta a su mujer.
Sí. She's gonna go get.
Me dijo, ay, pero me dijo. ¿Dinero?
Sí, vale. Money now.
Encuentro nuevo. Encuentro.
Like encuentro means finding, but it also means like a new beginning. And it says new beginning now and money now. And singing now. And Alma is our singer. She's the one that sings all the time. You've heard her music. And so your essence, you can write 20 pages, but your essence is only going to give you two or three words. And what you do is you just allow the words to come. You sit there. When you finish writing your letter, that's all conscious. That's you. Then you're going to change your pen to the other hand, to your non-dominant hand. And then you're going to write whatever your essence tells you. But you're not going to think. You're simply going to allow the words to come into your head and tell you whatever it is it needs to tell you. And remember, your essence is not going to give you a lot of words. They may give you one word or two. I remember one time when Betty wrote to her essence, and she said that she wanted something. And her essence said, wait. And she came to me, she said, my essence says to wait. Well, wait for what? I said, well, you need to wait. Be patient. And so she waited, and about maybe two or three weeks later, boom, what she wanted, what she was dreaming for, what she was hoping for, was realized. And it was done so subtly that she didn't even realize that it was happening until after it was happening. And so when you write a letter to your essence and you tell your essence, what is it that you want? Now remember, we have no power over other people. If you want to be loved, if you want to have a healthy relationship, then ask for a healthy relationship. Don't say, I want Joe Blow to like me, because we don't have the power to have somebody like you. That is something that you create. But when you say, I want a healthy relationship, someone who will love me, and you say the kind of qualities that you want in your relationship, then you're not specifying anybody, because the reality is that there may be somebody even better than who you picked. See? So you want, and plus, I've noticed that the people that we want around us are probably sicker than we are. And if you notice that, look at your relationships. What kind of a relationship do you constantly pick? What kind of a person do you pick as a relationship? And chances are very good that if you're not in a relationship now, it's because you picked the wrong people. So throw it out that you're not going to pick the wrong person. Your higher power is going to pick for you. Your essence is going to pick someone who's in your best interest, someone who you're going to live a wonderful life with, and one that you're not going to play games. However, you have to stop playing games too if you want someone else to play, not to play games with you. So let's hear now, we're at the end of the show, and we're going to hear now, How Can Anyone Ever Tell You by Shayna Noll. And I'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Nidia at drnidia.com. Bye.
How could your love.